This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got lots of time to answer your questions. You can call us, and you can check in with the doctor, yours truly, and pose your questions. We've got an open line today, and our number is 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-8255. Talk. That's the number for questions related to medicine and nutrition. And of course, we have a lot to talk about as usual this weekend. We took a little hiatus over Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you had a satisfactory holiday with your loved ones, your family, or with whomever you choose to spend the holidays. Perhaps yourself. There's nothing wrong with a little recreation, a little solitary quiet. We survived Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday, and over Thanksgiving, I was very pleased to hear something that, it's sort of a milestone. I have shared with you that over the past few years, our podcasts have literally gone through the roof in terms of popularity, and this Thanksgiving was no exception. I guess people had a little bit of downtime, a little time to spend. You know, people get a little bored. Maybe they shop online. They spend a little more time catching up. And that pushed us over the 5 million download milestone. So very pleased to hear that our podcasts, and some of you may be listening to this as a live broadcast. Of course, this turns into a podcast on Monday mornings. And then you can download our weekend shows. Say you're doing something else. Maybe you're just not around. You can't listen in real time. You can always listen to our podcasts on Mondays of our weekend broadcast. But there's lots more. We've got all sorts of podcasts going on during the week. Five additional hours of programming from yours truly, including some great interviews. And also our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer questions. You can send those questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And that's another way you can get questions to us besides calling us at 877-726-TALK, our number for the weekend program. So this week, we put up an article that responds to the new guidelines for high blood pressure. In case you were doing something else over Thanksgiving in kind of a stealth attack, the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association deemed fit to move the goalposts on high blood pressure, lowering the cutoff for normal blood pressure from 140 over 90 to 120 over 80. Okay. Previously, systolic blood pressures of 120 to 129 had been designated pre-hypertension. Now they're elevated blood pressures. And so I got a comment. I actually got many comments on this article, which we published in our newsletter and which is up on our website, which takes on the new blood pressure categories. The article's entitled, "Overnight Half of American Adults Reclassified as Hypertensive. Is it diagnosis creep?" By diagnosis creep, I mean the tendency for medicine to appropriate new customers, basically, as we extend the guidelines for high cholesterol. We're playing cholesterol limbo. How low can you go? Same thing's happening with hypertension. And yes, hypertension is a real problem, and perhaps it's under-recognized. But I'm afraid that these new guidelines are going to get a lot more doctors to be a little too liberal with the prescription pad. And so I'll share with you a comment that I got, which kind of is representative of many comments that I got on my article. Hello, I was waiting to read your take on the new guidelines, which seemed ridiculous and laden with ulterior motives and inaccurate reasoning. Thank you for, as always, taking on establishment actions with subject matter, knowledge, and unambiguous data, and a hefty dose of sanity. Enjoy a happy, safe holiday and New Year. Signed, Jan. And I thank you, Jan, for that vote of confidence. And you can find that article at drhoffman.com. And we'll do a podcast on the subject of high blood pressure. I'm going to roll out a series of articles on natural approaches to blood pressure, starting with, of course, diet. And what's interesting is that in the article that was used to justify these new blood pressure guidelines, it's a very long article, and I downloaded the entire article and read the article. It's just really, if you've got sleep problems, you know, read an article, a scientific article like that. It's got, you really get lost in the weeds, and it really can put you to sleep. But in reading the article, I searched in vain for mention of diet, lifestyle, exercise, and I could find only one time, once, the word lifestyle was mentioned in this article, which is now used as the basis for reclassifying 31 million Americans as hypertensive. It used to be that just 32% of Americans, roughly a third, were said to be hypertensive. Now it's 46%, almost a half. That's a huge switch. And that, I think, is going to result in a lot of overdiagnosis, over-medication. And what can be the harm of over-medication? Well, the side effects are real. And particularly for older Americans, lowering blood pressure too much has been shown to be a risk factor for wooziness, dizziness, lightheadedness, fainting, and calamitous falls, which can result in hip fractures. And, oh, by the way, a very high percentage of older Americans with high blood pressure are taking blood-thinning drugs. And when you hit the deck and bang your head and you're not on high on blood-thinning drugs, you're going to get a bump on the head, maybe a mild concussion. But if you do so while on blood-thinning medication, perhaps your blood pressure drug lowered your blood pressure to the point where you felt lightheaded, it can really be calamitous. You can have a brain bleed that can ultimately be fatal. So check out my article on the new blood pressure guidelines. I think you'll find it interesting. Here's some reassuring news. Drinking coffee could lead to a longer life, scientists say. It turns out whether it's decaffeinated or caffeinated, coffee is associated with a lower risk of death. And that suggests, mercifully for me, because I drink decaf. In fact, I'm going to have a... let me clear my throat and have a little decaf right now. That's better. I literally guzzle decaf. And it turns out it's good for me. Just like many of my habits, which were hitherto thought bad, including consuming coconut oil. That was thought to be bad. Turns out it's good. Eating dark chocolate. Yeah, that's beneficial. And now drinking coffee can lead to a longer life. And what's about is not so much the caffeine, it's the dark substances, the beneficial polyphenols, the substances that are similar to resveratrol in wine, or the cocoa flavanols that are present in chocolate. Previous research by USC has indicated that drinking coffee is associated with reduced risk of several types of cancer, especially liver cancer, diabetes, liver disease like fatty liver, Parkinson's disease, type 2 diabetes, and other chronic conditions, And also, this whole idea that coffee can trigger atrial fibrillation, a recent study showed that, no, not a strong correlation between coffee consumption and heart arrhythmias. According to the lead author of this article, coffee contains a lot of antioxidants and phenolic compounds that play an important role in cancer prevention. And this article, underwritten by Starbucks. No, I'm just kidding. It's not really. No, it's independent researchers came to that conclusion. And coffee consumption up to 4 to 6 cups per day, whether it's caffeinated or decaffeinated, confers benefits. All right, you can call us. Our number is 877-726-TALK with questions related to intelligent medicine. I'm here for this hour and next, so take advantage. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are now available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers across the United States. Get them today.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And coming up, why women are less likely to get CPR from bystanders. That's an odd factoid. Let's do a deep dive on that in just a few moments. Also, the upcoming flu season may be a particularly severe one in the U.S., researchers predict. But before we get to those issues, by the way, our number 877-726-8255, we got a call from Debbie in Spring Hill, Florida. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Hoffman.
My pleasure.
I was calling, I have a question to ask. If my mom has, I'm 60 years old, if my mom has atrial fibrillation, does that mean I will get it? I have 2 leaky heart valves, the aorta valve and the mitral valve, mild to moderate on both. But for years, I've always had skip beats, and I've had monitors on, and they said they're benign PVCs or PACs.
Right.
So I was so wondering, the doctor said to me, you are going to get it. And it frightened me.
Well, you know, first of all, I take issue with a doctor as predicting some dire outcome as if he were God Almighty. I think there is a possibility, given that you have leaky valves, that the extra strain that puts on your heart may somewhat predispose you to a heart arrhythmia eventually. The other thing is that sometimes a heart arrhythmia is a consequence of the fact that we live really long. You know, living into your 80s and 90s, sometimes we outlive the electrical system in our hearts. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get a heart attack. This is a different kind of problem, and it's easily correctable. The hereditary factor is not that important. There may be a slight hereditary factor when it comes to that type of heart problem. It's probably less of a hereditary factor than the predisposition to atherosclerosis or blockage of the coronary arteries. This is quite different. In your case, it's not the arteries that are likely the problem. It's the shape of the valves and possibly the electrical system if you're getting skipped beats. This electrical pacemaker in the heart, and, you know, it's got to beat millions and millions of times during your lifetime. And, if we had cars that lasted as long as, car parts that lasted as long as hearts, we'd never have to put the car in the garage. So, the answer is, you might be at higher risk. So what can you do? What are some of the things that you can do? You can do exercise, but moderate exercise, not super heavy-duty exercise, because it's been shown that triathletes, for example, not so much the type of triathlons that I do, although they're pretty rigorous, but Ironman triathlons and marathons, folks who do dozens and dozens of these may have enlarged hearts, and they may have a higher risk of cardiac arrhythmias later in life. That's actually been shown. But there's probably little danger of that happening with you with moderate amounts of exercise that can actually strengthen your heart and normalize your heart rhythm. The other things to do, make sure that you take adequate magnesium, particularly magnesium taurate. You might take 2 to 4 daily. Some of our patients with atrial fibrillation, we have them taking as much as 6 or 8 daily. That's generally safe. And take fish oil. Fish oil also has an anti-arrhythmic effect. Some studies suggest that coenzyme Q10 is beneficial in that respect, and I would take at least 200 to 300 of CoQ10 per day or 100 to 200 milligrams of ubiquinol every day. These are some of the things that could make a difference in terms of slowing your progression to atrial fibrillation, which is by no means, it's by no means inevitable, but, say you get it. And if you get it, it can be managed. People need to be on blood thinners. They sometimes need to be on medication that regulates the heart rate. But it's not the end of life. People with atrial fibrillation live on for decades and decades, and they're really not severely impaired. So, I want to just assuage your concerns about that, all right?
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for calling us. Our number is 877-726-TALK. And when we return, a peculiar fact, when women who have cardiac arrest are witnessed, they're less likely than men to get CPR from a bystander. What's up with that? They're more likely to die, says a new study. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And when we return, the answer to that and other questions, 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We'll be taking more of your phone calls momentarily. 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255 for questions related to any subject that goes under the rubric Intelligent Medicine, nutrition, supplements, health problems. Take all comers. But before we do that, it's a very peculiar statistic. revealed by a new study. Study suggests women less likely to get CPR from bystanders. This article from the Associated Press by their chief medical writer, Marilyn Marchioni. Women are less likely than men to get CPR from a bystander and more likely to die, a new study suggests. Only 39% of women suffering cardiac arrest in a public place were given CPR versus 45% of men, and men were 23% more likely to survive, the study found. This study looked at nearly 20,000 cases around the country. It's the first to examine gender differences in receiving heart help from the public versus professional responders. Now, lots of people know CPR, and you know the drill. You're supposed to get in there, and that whole mouth-to-mouth thing, that is passé. It's chest compressions. Now, I know that there are many movie tropes. You know, I can think of several movies where young males eagerly were pressed into action because they can do a lip lock with a seemingly unconscious woman and press on her possibly ample bosom. I mean, this is, you're not going to see a lot of these in movies that are forthcoming because of our current epidemic of sexual predators and the revelations about people touching the hoo-ha of some unwitting victims. There's a real concern and reticence, especially now, among at least some enlightened men, about touching women's chests. And this really appears to be what underlies this potentially fatal trend. It's a terrible problem because literally some women may be relegated to dying of cardiac arrest. According to the lead author of the study, a University of Pennsylvania researcher, he says, quote, "It can be kind of daunting thinking about pushing hard and fast on the center of a woman's chest, and some people may fear they are hurting her." You know, those CPR training mannequins, they're called mannequins, not womanikins, and they're usually male torsos, unencumbered by protuberant or large breasts. There's also concern that the circumstance of women's breasts may impede proper placement of defibrillator pads if women need a shock to restore normal heart rhythm. Because, you know, you got to, some people are trained to apply these pads. Many facilities have defibrillators, restaurants, public facilities, and sometimes at airports you see defibrillator here. But then what are you going to do? Woman's lying on the ground. She's unconscious. Who's going to go there first in this day and age? Open up the blouse, press on the chest, apply the defibrillator pads to the proper places. This is truly an unintended consequence of our current moral panic about touching certain parts of women who don't, you know, it's impossible to give consent when you're having a cardiac arrest. You know, you're not conscious and you can't, you know, say, okay, go ahead, save my life. So it's a real dilemma, and we have to address this unfortunate sexual bias. All right, let's talk to Dan in Bridgeport, Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I download your podcast frequently. I went to my doctor's in June, and my blood pressure was up, and he put me on medication for it. And
Could you just tell me what your blood pressure was when you were put on blood pressure medication? Because now, you know, we've moved the goalposts on that.
It was, you know, it was up way above the goalposts. It was 145 over 85.
Well, that's not way above the goalposts. Actually, 140 over 85 There was an editorial in the Journal of the Family Practitioners of America, which suggests that the goal should be 150 over 90, and not even 120 or 80. So it's actually, your blood pressure by some criteria could be considered borderline. And also measured in the doctor's office. How many times was it measured before he told you needed blood pressure?
Originally the nurse did it. It was 155. And then he came in and he put me on an automatic machine that did it three times.
Okay.
He left off.
Clearly you had blood pressure that was of concern. Let's not minimize that. Okay.
No. And I have a machine, and I bought the machine with me, and I have normal blood pressure at different times of day. Mm-hmm. And so he put me on a statin potassium. But more, my major concern is I'm 63 years old, and I'm not taking any medication. And he does not appear to go for natural remedies.
Right.
So I did my research and everything else. And then he calls me back and wants to put me on a statin drug because my cholesterol was 238. My high density was 61.
Right.
And my triglycerides were 133.
Okay. So, well, before we get into that, you know, it's like, here's this, you really illustrate the problem, which is that we have these new guidelines. And really, the guidelines are supposed to first invoke lifestyle changes. I mean, that's actually what the guidelines say, although it's little recognized that these guidelines for mild to moderate high blood pressure emphasize a trial of lifestyle modification. But instead, doctors who are pressed for time, doctors who really maybe don't even understand how to administer lifestyle advice, quickly reach for the prescription pad. And so, we'd have to ask you, are you on the proper diet? Are you at the right weight? Are you exercising? Are you subject to inordinate stress? And look at a multiplicity of factors and ask also if you're, taking the correct supplements that might help you address this problem without medication. So first question for you, go ahead.
What I ended up doing was, I got the Zota Plus, and my Kaolic, and I'm taking magnesium taurate, and I'm walking, doing brisk walking of 150 minutes a week, because that's what the American Heart Association's guidelines were.
Right.
And I have changed my diet. I've lost, I'm only 5'7", I'm 63.
Yeah.
And I was 152, and
yeah, that's a little much for your short stature. That's carrying a little extra weight.
With the walking, I've lost 12 pounds.
Excellent.
And, I'm not overly concerned, but I mean, he's trying to, you know, they're using this, ASCDV score, risk score, is 22.8% of having a heart attack in the next 10 years.
I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but you know what I would do if you were a patient of mine, to really ascertain your risk, because, you know, you have some risk factors for cardiovascular disease, and you can do the statistical analysis and, you know, run the numbers, you know, even there is even like algorithms on computers that you can put, you know, blood pressure and cholesterol and, you know, weight and all the various factors in it. You can come up with a risk assessment. But what really matters is what's called your EBT heart score, your calcium score. And sometimes that's at variance with what your apparent risk factors are. You could have tons of plaque in your coronary arteries, and it could be justified for you to be on very, very aggressive medical management. On the other hand, you may be just at the beginning of the process of developing coronary calcification, at which point there's not such a rush to put you on lots of medication, which could have side effects. You know, we know, for example, that blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication reduce the benefits of exercise. That's been known. I mean, you know, it sometimes makes these medications can make patients more tired. Sometimes they eliminate the incentive to modify diet and do exercise because, well, the numbers are fixed. Okay, fine, I'm fine. Okay, well, the next thing that might emerge, yeah, your blood pressure is controlled, your cholesterol is better. Oh, look at your blood sugar. Okay, we can fix that too. And then pretty soon, you know, you're a sedentary, lethargic butterball on five different medications. And, yeah, I don't know, maybe that's the way we want to manage cardiovascular risk in this country, but I don't think that's a good idea. So, you know, I think you're on the right track. You know, without going into, you know, details of how to manage your case, the losing the weight, the being on the right diet, especially a low-carb diet, that can make a huge difference. It's been shown that people who lose 10%, even 5% of their body weight, which in your case in 160, you know, we'd be just talking 8 pounds. You've already lost more than that. That can obviate the need to be on blood pressure medication in half the cases. So, you know, what you're not getting a lot of encouragement from your doctor, and you may need a second opinion from an integrative physician who can at least give you confidence that you're on the right path and not hit you over the head with the need to take medication if it's not necessary. That's the kind of thing that I do in my practice. So more than that, okay, I can't. Yeah, quickly.
I have a second concern. And he didn't even mention this. It was my white blood count. Some of my numbers in my blood count were high. My white blood count was 13. And my
That's high.
And my neutrophils were 8,437.
Well, that's a sign of inflammation or potentially a hidden infection. You know, the good news is it's the neutrophils that are a problem. The worst problem would be if your lymphocytes were the problem. We might have to send you to a hematologist to see if you have something like a chronic lymphocytic leukemia. But I, you know, I can't get into the particulars on that. We have to watch that, see if the numbers come down, and if they don't, you might need a workup from a blood specialist, a hematologist. All right, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. I don't have time to keep going with you. Sometimes people think this is an entire medical workup, and in the format of a radio program, it's just not permissible. Our number, 877-726-TALK, for questions related to intelligent medicine. And when we return, we're going to talk about why the upcoming flu season may be a particularly severe one in the U.S. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are now available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers across the United States. Get them today.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-TALK is our number for questions this hour and next. And if you're suffering from frequent fatigue, or perhaps you just want to optimize your energy, let me share with you some information about the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It repairs damaged cells and focuses on mitochondrial restoration. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue on almost half, and it even reverses symptoms of aging. It's available in ProPax, which is a one-stop shop for your daily nutritional needs. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics that some people may just want to keep their favorite multi or fish oil. and still harness the power of NT Factor. So, healthy aging was born. That's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with unique energy support of pure NT Factor, a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. To order ProPax or Healthy Aging, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. All right. In a moment, we'll talk about the upcoming flu season. But before that, let me share with you a curious story. This happened before Thanksgiving. At a meeting of the American Heart Association, the president of the AHA, John Warner, himself suffered a heart attack. That's kind of ironic. He just delivered an address about the many males in his family being affected by coronary disease, and the very self-same president of that organization, after delivering the, I guess, the opening address to kick off the conference, by the next morning, he was in the cardiology suite receiving a stent. So, he is 52 years of age, which I guess kind of, you know, not the, possibly the greatest role model for cardiovascular prevention. And it kind of goes to show you that, you know, I don't know, cardiologists may not be exempt from the very selfsame disease that they are fighting. Our thoughts and prayers for a speedy recovery. And talking about the upcoming flu season, it may be particularly severe in the U.S., according to medical experts. How do we know that? Well, down under, we have data from their flu season. It is now late spring in Australia, and they have weathered the winter months, which are the opposite of ours, June, July, August, and it was particularly bad down there. The southern hemisphere experienced one of its worst flu seasons during its winter months this year, and it may be an indication of what's to come as flu season gets underway in the northern hemisphere. Quote, reports from Australia have caused mounting concern with record high numbers of laboratory confirmed flu notifications. And what they're saying here is that the flu vaccine used this year in Australia, which is the self-same vaccine that's going to be used in the U.S., was only 10% effective, according to a preliminary estimate, at preventing the strain of the virus that predominantly circulated during the country's flu season. So, this does not bode well for the U.S., and it also does not bode well for the success of the vaccine, which year after year has underperformed, and this year may be one of the worst underperforming years. The problem with the vaccine is that it's our best prediction of what's going to end up happening months hence. And when the vaccine is manufactured, there can be genetic drift and the development of resistance by the flu as it mutates, as it tends to do relatively rapidly. So it's kind of like a long-range weather prediction. You know, what's going to be the weather next summer? Well, we can make some general predictions, but there's a lot of possibilities. The other problem is that flu vaccines are manufactured using chicken eggs. And when you use chicken eggs, there's the potential for the virus, which is basically alive, tends to change. And this is a very, very ancient way that we have of making vaccines. We've been using it for decades and decades. It's kind of anachronistic, but it would be very, very hard to switch manufacturing techniques because we're pumping out tens and tens and tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of vaccines every year. And we're so reliant on the egg production pipeline to get our flu shots that this is a concern, and they're trying to come up with new ways to amp up the effectiveness of the flu shot. All right, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number is 877-726-TALK for questions. We'll be taking more next hour. Stay with us. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some clear?
Sure, honey. Wow, your child actually asks for a nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep, thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.